The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves.
They spin in their graves? I'm not even in my grave and I'm spinning. Day-to-day insanity that we all watch is simply amazing, my friends. When will it ever end? I don't think there's a thing we can do about making it end in D.C., maybe our local city council, maybe the county board of supervisors. But you know what? In the end, there's only one individual that can make change that we as human beings, we as individuals require. And that is us. We cannot count on the politicians. We cannot count on our leaders because they will stick us and bleed us. I'm not sure that most of our pastors are doing as much of any good either. If that offends you, don't let it. Take a good close look at what your pastor is really doing. I think it's time to go back to the Black Watch. The hell with the 501c3 corporation business. Let them preach what they have to preach. The heck with the tax exemption. Pay the lousy taxes. Don't tell me they can't get the big fat write-offs just the way you and I do and the rest of them do. Good evening. Welcome to the second hour of the National Intel Report. Jeffrey Bennett here with another installment of Protecting Your Wealth. Oh, there's other days I do Protecting Your Health, but that's another time and another place. Been a week since I've been here. We had a holiday last week, the day of Thanksgiving, as it were. I was working in the kitchen at 5:30 in the morning, and by the time about 4:30 at night came about, I was done. I do the cooking. I generally don't eat a lot. Not because I've been tasting it all day. I know what it's going to taste like. I stopped testing my stuff years ago. The only thing I test right at the tail end is the gravy. But there's different kinds of gravy. There's the kind you imbibe, and there's the kind you put in your pocket. Or do your best to make sure that no one else gets it out of your pocket. Let's get it on. You know, it's been a week since I've done any market reporting. I would have thought that the market would have broken 24 by now. Still hasn't done it. Although it was up 255 points today to end at 23.8, almost 837. That's for the Dow. S&P 500 up 25.62 to close at 26.27. NASDAQ up 33 points. NASDAQ seems to be the real screamer lately. They closed at 69.12. Oil down 28 cents today. That always makes me happy. What does that make? Like 0.07 cents down on a gallon of gas or something off the wall like that? Over the precious metal side of the aisle, it has been a very interesting thing to watch. We're currently in the aftermarket as relates to the New York markets. Rhodium flat at $1,375 an ounce. Palladium off $2 in the aftermarket at $1,020. Platinum flat at $947. Woo! Gee, platinum's on a holy tear. Last time I reported, it was 933. It's up 12 bucks. Silver's off a couple of pennies in the aftermarket, closed $16.86 as we speak. Gold, up a dime in the aftermarket, $1,293.50. But that is down because at one time it did break $1,300 an ounce today. These kind of good things are always good to see. Real quick thing to share with you over at KettleMarinePreciousMetals.com. Some of the headlines, everything else, then silver. Subheading, that's why we call the bankers criminals and the comics a fraud. Headline number two, this starts getting very interesting. Wall Street banks, the big rigathon. That is one of the most unique pieces I've shared with an audience in a long, long time. It is well worth looking. Third column, 28 reasons. And maybe it's the one I ought to be doing today. Maybe we'll sit on it and do it next time we're up. 28 reasons to buy physical gold. Yeah. Oh, and a very interesting piece that just flat amazed me. A 2,000-year-old Roman shipwreck. Not single, plural. 2,000-year-old Roman shipwrecks have been discovered off the coast of Alexandria. Believe it or not, in the bay, stunning gold coins and a royal head of crystal. That is a phenomenal piece to look at. It's laden with photographs. Find all that and more at KettleMarinePreciousMetals.com. More than happy to... what the heck? All right, we're done with that one. We can close that sucker down, I think. I gotta be careful when I'm closing. I had something really strange happen just before I went on the air. Gotta work on it tonight. Hey, how's your home doing? Well, there's some interesting things going on. It's a little spooky. As a matter of fact, before we even get to that, there's an interesting headline over at MarketWatch, and I'm not gonna get into it because it covers a wide range of things. Complacent investors run the risk of reliving a parable of the boiling frog. Now think about this for a minute. Complacent investors. Well, when you buy a home, you're investing. And the housing market is exploding once again. Absolutely exploding. And you could be a complacent investor. Are you running the risk of reliving the parable of the frogs? Is the housing market about to crash somewhere? In a lot of places? I'm going to tell you something. I took a course about 3-4 weeks ago that has to do with flipping houses. The problem is I didn't need the course. I've done it. My need for the course was to learn how to acquire these homes and do the conversions and do the rehabs. Well, I know how to do the rehabs, but it's acquiring. Where do you get the money to acquire the homes? These are the kind of things I was working on. And it was very, very unique. But a good number of things came out of it. The more and more. Look, they run one of these things every weekend somewhere in the country. Now, you think about 52 weeks a year, and let's share out 2 weeks. So 50 weeks a year, an average of 250 people go to each one of these courses. Now, some of them are going as couples or a couple of business associates or whatever. Multiply that times 50. How many thousands of people every single year are trying to get into the home flipping business? And when it gets that crazy, and I get real estate plugs every single night, I get things from Zillow and from, I don't know where the heck, Movello, Motello, whatever the heck it is, 3-4 different places with a wide range of homes available in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And we're talking low-end, medium-end, super high-end, the whole nine yards. A lot of these are homes that are obviously flip homes. I can recognize them instantly. There are several keys that you're able to pick out. And some of them look like trash. The people doing the rehab of the homes really have no clue what they're doing. I don't think they've even been to classes. They're going in, trying to do it on the cheap, and they're trying to dump these houses on the market. These guys are going to be lucky if they can make $5,000 to $10,000 a house. The worst I did was make 40, and the best I did was 105, okay? Now, I want you to think about this. When you look at a headline, U.S. home prices increase pace at 6.2% year over year, which is twice the wage growth in this country and four times the core inflation. You know, homes in Seattle are growing four times what are happening in Washington, D.C. home prices. That's pure insanity. So the boiling frog, is it strictly the housing market? Oh, no. The interesting thing is the majority of that headline deals with what's going on in Wall Street. Now, I have spent the last several days involved with about a four, what could have been about a five-hour presentation, dealing with the manipulation by the banks, but not just by the banks. Keep in mind, the banks are Wall Street. Sorry, folks. I'm making it simplistic, of course. But how the banks and Wall Street are manipulating this nation financially into the boiling water. It is simply appalling. Now, I would love to get into that dissertation with you, but frankly, just the first part of it is a two-hour presentation, and I don't have a two-hour time slot here at this network. So it's one of those things we have to look at carefully. Boiling frog, yes. I spent 2 hours today and could have easily spent a third hour delving into the fraud that is the student debt loan zoo. I learned things that absolutely appalled me. And it appalled me because I've got a 17-year-old granddaughter that is hoping to start college next year. And when I start looking at where the money is going to have to come from and how that money is nothing but a con job. These kids go to school, they get set up to spend massive amounts of money that in some cases they will never, ever be able to repay. Get a four-year degree, get a six-year, an eight-year degree, a 10-year degree, whatever the case may happen to be. There's no jobs out there. There's not enough jobs out there. You come out of school, you get a job at a dishwasher, Denny's. Or flipping boogers at Burger King. And that's for your first job. And then you go across the street to McDonald's for your second job. And if you're lucky, you might get one of Filiberto's for your third job. And that's just to be able to put food on your table and keep a roof over your head. Whether you're buying or renting, it doesn't make any difference. How the hell do you ever pay your student loan back? The intertwining of all of these things is absolutely appalling. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price NSA Index, that's a long one, covering all nine U.S. Census divisions, has reported a 6.2 annual gain in September alone, up from 5.9% in the previous month. The 10-city composite annual increase came in at 5.7%, up 5.25% from the previous month. Seattle, Las Vegas, San Diego have reported the highest year-over-year gains among the 20 cities. In September, Seattle led the way with a 12.9% year-over-price increase. I'm sorry, folks. I like to travel through Seattle, but I would not live there. Their politics are amongst the worst in the country. Their entire city council, including the mayor, are full of nothing but representatives of the third or fourth or fifth or sixth sexual persuasion. Yeah, it's that twisted. Oh, Vegas has two. 13 cities reported greater price increases in the year ending September versus the year ending in August of this year. Simple. Home prices are exploding once again. But there's other reasons for that too. Rental costs have exploded like you cannot believe. Averages, Atlanta for 1 year period, up 5.4%, 7.2% for Boston, 6.2% for Charlotte. I don't know if that's North or South Carolina. It don't make a heck of a lot of difference. Phoenix, the area where I live, up 8. I'm sorry, wait a minute. Where'd Phoenix go? Phoenix is up 6.1%, and yet it's one of the fastest growing counties in the country. San Diego up 8.25%. It's absolute insanity. Now, New York is only up 5.25 because they're so already outrageously priced. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So let's see if the GOP tax plan passes that removes the household tax deduction for state and local taxes. That should create some interesting home price changes because households will be tempted to then flee the high tax areas, the less expensive areas. It's going to be an interesting one to watch out. Let us move on. Oh, what are we going to do? Hey, I got to put this out again. On the off chance he's listening, because obviously he wasn't last week, I got a phone call from a guy a couple of weeks ago named Jerry. Jerry was interested in putting about 60% of his funds in gold, I think, and 40% in silver. Had a dollar amount he wanted to work with. I still got the listing. Jerry, I wrote your phone number on the pack of on the back of a piece of paper that I was working on for you, and that is the one piece of paper that got shredded. I still have the other one with your information. Can't remember what state you live in. Nothing. If you're listening to this program, give me a call, Jerry, at 623-327-1778. We'll pick up when we left off, if you care to do so. If not, well, then I blew it, and I do apologize because that's not I normally conduct business. I want to take a look at something a little unusual. I'll ask you a question. Is your 401k corrupt? How many of you out there listening can I have 401k? Maybe because you're still opening, but maybe you just retired. Maybe you're going to be retiring in 3, 4, 5 months, whatever the case may happen to be. But this much from program to program, if you are over the age of 65 and you're still working and you got a 401k, my understanding is you may be able to move some of the money out of there without borrowing against it. You may be able to cash some of it in. You may be able to convert it to a self-directed IRA. Now, if you find that that's the case and you'd like to discuss some options because you're getting a little wiggy about what's going on with your 401k, you don't know where the managers are investing. You don't know how much of your money they're sticking in their pocket because of management fees. Now, they're all spread across the board with every 401 that's in your corporation. But it's scary. I mean, I was kind of polite here when I said that is your 401k corrupt. The actual heading on the article title is, your 401k is kind of BS. Well, it's better than nothing, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't start demanding better. And this is a problem that I've had with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the years who are angry about the way their 401k is being invested. Now, this one particular writer tends to write with a very foul mouth. She's a gal who probably graduated college 3, 4 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. She's got some pretty heavy college debt. She's probably a snowflake and a whiner and one of the spoiled me-me-me's that thinks everything should be for free. So she tends to write with some pretty guttural language, which I clean up on the fly. She claims that that the fact that I feel a sense of pride when I say things like, I contribute to my 401k. She said is perhaps the biggest indication that I am not, in fact, a grown-up. The real marker of adulthood is doing things that seem adult without feeling self-congratulatory about it. Additionally, any illusion that I have any idea what the heck I'm doing when it comes to my retirement would fall apart under even the slightest scrutiny. Now, when I use the word, additionally, any illusion that I have any idea of what the heck I'm doing, she doesn't use the word heck. Oh, the last two letters are CK, but the first two letters are FU. And this is the way this dumb chick writes. I mean, why would anyone want to pay any degree of attention to what she writes except that what she writes is on the money? She said, what if, for instance, someone asked what return I got in 2016, what kind of funds I was invested in, or who was even managing my money? She goes on to say, regardless of my maturity level, the fact remains I am at least getting biologically older. As I inch ever closer to 30, the chances that some family member might ask me these exact questions, and soon, is higher than absolute. Absolute zero. With that in mind, she said, I decided to take action. More specifically, I made a plan to take control of my retirement, a phrase I'm probably cribbing from an actor wearing Dockers in a commercial I overheard once in a laundromat, but nah, whatever. You got to start somewhere. The first thing I learned is that retirement is a relatively new concept. In the olden days, people didn't need as much of a cushion between the end of employment and death. I don't think I fully understood that when the Social Security Act was signed in 1935, but the average life expectancy in this country was only about 61. Meanwhile, in 2017, we're inching toward a reality in which people might live as many years after 61 as they spent in the workforce. Financial planners have traditionally used a three-legged stool as a metaphor for how one should plan for this ever-expanding stage of life. Social Security is Social Security, a pension, and or other investments or savings are supposed to carry you through your golden years. But the problem, as I immediately identified it, was I did not have a pension. Nor did anyone I know besides a handful of teachers, something that data backs up. According to the Employee Benefit Research Institute in 1980, about 28% of private sector employees had pensions only. By 2014, that number had dropped to 2%. Did you hear that? According to the Employee Benefit Research Institute, in 1980, about 28% of private sector employees had pensions only. Now it's down to 2%. That's a massive drop. Now, of course, what's meant by private sector employees? Is IBM considered private sector? I don't know. I guess it would be. So seeking clarity, our author calls up one Nevin Adams, the chief of marketing and communications at the American Retirement Association, who explained to her how 401ks came to replace the idea of pensions at most companies and why that was not necessarily a disaster. Basically, the modern retirement system began with a bunch of executives at Eastman Kodak and Xerox who wanted tax havens for their bonuses. They lobbied Congress for a mechanism with which they could stockpile money and not pay taxes on it until they retired. And a 28-year-old junior lawyer named Richard Stanger was the technical expert primarily tasked with crafting 401ks at a new subsection of the IRS code in 1978. 2 years later, a benefits manager named Ted Benna figured out that the then obscure 869 could be utilized by all employees at a company, not just the ones with corner offices. So the idea was that those employees could give a certain pre-tax amount of their paycheck to their bosses. Ooh, that's nice. They'd hand it over to a third-party money manager. In some cases, the employer would even match the amount being invested up to 10%. So if a worker wanted to put up 3% of his or her pay away, they would end up with double that amount in a managed fund that would ostensibly increase until retirement. If the money is pulled out before 59 and a half, it's subject both to income tax and to an excise tax of 10%. But for people who can wait to touch the money, they end up not paying capital gains taxes for whatever profits they've made from their investments. Instead, a person cashing out their 401k just pays income tax on it as if they were getting a paycheck for that same amount. So, realizing it would cost them less than providing pensions, companies were eager to make a switch. 401k was also promoted to consumers as a vehicle towards self-sufficiency and fulfillment during the Reagan years. That is a DIY retirement plan that relied on contributions from individuals as opposed to gifted benefits from employers that were guaranteed by the government. So, Adams tells us this was an incredibly positive development for workers, and in his telling, it's giving financially illiterate people free money. And if the market plunges, that dip will likely be offset by the employer match, he assured me. Also points to the fact that people today are more transient as evidence for why pensions should have fallen out of favor. For instance, he worked at his job first job for 9.5 years, not enough to get a pension from the employer later in life. But if he'd had a 401k instead, he reasons, he would have at least gotten something to show for his near decade there. Plus, he adds, you get access to investment funds that are cheaper than if you were out doing this on your own, though you have to keep an eye on it. Well, keeping an eye on your 401k is tricky if you barely understand what it is. And so for help, our author calls Daniel Solin, securities attorney turned financial advisor and author, who instructed me to only focus on two factors. One was something called the expense ratio, or the amount I was paying in management fees. Less than 1% is considered good, and it looked like I had one at 0.21% in 2016, and was projected to have one at 0.72% this year. Big jump, but still not terrible. Wait a minute. In 2016, but it tripled a year later? Ooh, that's kind of interesting. What happens if it triples again next year? Well, no big deal. The other thing he said to look for was what category of advisor I had, of which there are two. There are those known as the ERISA 338 fiduciaries, named after the Employee Retirement Income Security Tax, which are not allowed to have conflicts of interest and are not entitled to any portion of the revenue they make by investing your money. Essentially, this means they have to always do what's in the best interest of you, the plan participant. Of course, then there's the non-fiduciaries. They're a group of brokers and insurance firms that can have conflicts of interest and don't have to tell you about them. Alarmingly, though, he doesn't know for sure. Solin estimates that about 90% or so of 401k plans are advised by, oops, the ones that have got lots of special interests all to themselves. And, of course, all of this has led to very different takes on the financial instrument that she had just heard praised by Adams. What I'm sharing with you, we don't need to go on with. It's simple. In most instances, in 90-some-odd percent of the cases, 90% or more of the cases, 401k plans are advised by those that do have special interest. They are not acting in your special interest. The more they churn, the more they sell out of this fund into that fund, the more compensation they are taking, which is going to ultimately hold the value of your 401k down. It could have grown at a much, much higher rate, but that's not the way they want things to go. So, having said all that, let us assume that you are near retirement. You do not want to leave your 401k in the hands of the company you are leaving. You want to take control of it. And one of the best ways you can do that is to convert into a self-directed IRA. That is one of the plans you can do. I happen to be a broker with self-directed IRAs. I'm not getting into sales pitch because there's plenty of us out there. I happen to deal with precious metals IRAs. I work with one of the most amazing trust companies in the country. But they don't just do precious metals. I can assist you in rolling over your 401k when you're eligible. And you may want to contact me to discuss eligibility and what your time frames are, etc. There's no obligation to you for calling me. You can reach me throughout the day at 623-327-1778. You can also send me an email to gold@kettlemoraineprecious metals.com. And I'll be glad to answer any of your questions. Start some preparations now. Don't screw around. Don't wait until they start raking you over the coals. You do not want to leave your money in someone else's hands. Stick around. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
No reason to get excited.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, A visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Are you still there?
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger.
Hi-Yo Silver! Away!
With his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early West. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. The Lone Ranger rides again.
And why not, my friends? The Lone Ranger rides again. Those were the simple days, were they not? One form or another. Which I guess is kind of a backward joke, because if you go to RBN.org or RepublicBroadcasting.org, up in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a little picture of the Lone Ranger holding a silver bullet. Click on it. It'll generally take you to our treasure chest offering for the week, which I've not even posted yet. It's got a little thing up there by Howard and says we've been up the mines, getting loaded up on a bunch of powerful stuff, and give us a call. Let's move on. I continue to be bombarded by more and more articles pro and con regarding cryptocurrencies. One of the headlines that I saw just shortly before coming on the air was over at Market Watch, and a couple of interesting articles. One on here has got a picture of those two guys, Dumb and Dumber, the movie. How to invest in Bitcoin with your eyes wide open. But you see, the term Bitcoin, and in this case, in the headline, it's a lowercase B, which means they're not targeting the so-called coin known as Bitcoin. They're using it as a short term for anything that relates to cryptocurrency. Jack Bogle says, avoid Bitcoin like the plague. Mark Hulbert says, the chance of a Bitcoin crash is now greater than 80%. Whether that's true or not, we don't know. I think there is greed. I actually also saw another headline on the same website. One of the big boys, and it doesn't look like I can find it right now. One of the big boys has now committed massive amounts of money, something like $100 million, which I guess in terms of Bitcoin is nothing anymore. Massive amounts of money has been committed toward developing probably like an ETF or something of that nature. They're going to begin offering Bitcoin through that brokerage firm. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. And these kind of things, when there's that much news, it's either the hottest thing coming down the pike or it's the greatest way where they're going to be able to make money. Headline, Bitcoin 10,000, huge volatility of cryptocurrencies and the risky fiat are making gold attractive. I start looking at some of the images. Bitcoin and went from 0 to 1,000 in 1,789 days. It took another 1,271 days for Bitcoin to reach 2,000, 23 days for it to hit 3,000. 62 days to hit 4,000, 61 days to hit 5,000, and then it took just over a week for it to hit 6,000, 13 more days to hit 7,000, 14 more days to hit 8,000, it took 9 days to hit 9,000, and we are just now short of $10,000 per Bitcoin. Bitcoin topped 10,000 on some exchanges yesterday to much fanfare and animal spirits internationally. 850% surge in less than a year. Bitcoin has seen gains that are four times more than dot-com stocks gained at their height in the late 1990s. And this is making the first and arguably the best cryptocurrency look like it's an ever-growing bubble, which will no doubt hurt many speculative printers or punters when it finally goes pop. Bitcoin's market cap is over $160 billion and more than that of General Electric, a company that has been in existence since 1892 and has 250,000 employees. Now, when you look on Google Trends and see the search for Bitcoin bubble reach a peak as the price probes 10,000, then you know that many owners and non-owners of cryptocurrency are beginning to get worried. And although a contrarian might say the widespread concerns of a bubble mean that we may be in the early stages of a bubble, you start looking at the graphs, the charts I'm looking at, it's almost scary. Almost scary. Today's open on Bitcoin was $9,739.06. Its high was $98.95. Its low was $96.45. The supply? Seems to be plenty of them, 16,706,213 Bitcoins. But Bitcoin has many factions concerned. Central bankers are worried about its impact on financial markets. Merchants are confused. Should we accept it or not? Exchanges are terrified that they'll all get a large sell order, and some gold investors are even wondering if they should have invested in Nakamoto's invention rather than the world's oldest form of money. Jitters are seriously beginning to show, and yet the price keeps climbing. And yet high price does not necessarily equal validation. High price in this case is partly a sign of irrational exuberance. It's a sign of a market that is playing a short game, blinkered by the mounting risks to which the Bitcoin and cryptocurrency markets are exposed. But what do we got? It's bubblicious, baby. Dr. Konstantin Gurdjieff, finance professor, respected market commentator, and former non-exec advisor to Goldcorp, has warned of a speculative bubble. He says, at this point in time, Bitcoin price can be potentially driven solely by expectations held by its enthusiasts, plus the incentives by the predominantly China-based investors to avoid extreme risks of capital controls and expropriations. If so, both drivers would make it a speculative bubble. Bitcoins are now four times as expensive as dot-com stocks were at their very height. In the 2000s, residential real estate, the 1920s stock market, you take a look at the charts, the price-to-earnings ratio, it's insane. But you see, the problem with Bitcoin is not that they're worth nothing. They're clearly worth something. If anything, just because of the work that goes into creating them, but also because there are people willing to make an economic exchange for them. I saw an article today that said you can buy a house with Bitcoin. There are companies that are now accepting Bitcoin as payment. I told you about my longtime client, Larry, who called me some months ago, informing that his and I remember he had liquidated some stuff to help his son get started in this new thing called Bitcoin. His son has apparently done very well with it. Started out with some 10 grand. Last time we talked, he was up to $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, whatever it was. And that's great. But, you know, and he did pull some of it back out, which is smart thing to do. You take some of your profits out of where he told me about his son walking into Walmart saying, do you guys accept Bitcoin? And I don't know. I never heard of that stuff. What is it? Well, he went ahead with his purchase anyway, whipped out a MasterCard, and apparently the MasterCard was somehow tied to Bitcoin. And when he made his purchase with it, he told the clerk on the way out, well, you just accepted Bitcoin. But the problem with Bitcoin is that while adoption is surging, it is still amongst a tiny section of the population, primarily the tech community and millennials. There are varied estimates, but it's believed that only 0.1% of the world's population holds a Bitcoin wallet. Not even Bitcoin, as many have wallets and accounts, but they've never bought. The case for its potential is utterly compelling, but it is yet unproven with many potential competing digital currencies, state and private. Oh, and there's more of them coming out all the time. And so what we're left with is a cycle of irrational exuberance, speculation, FOMO. That's the fear to be missing out. If it was MOFO, well, that would have been a, you know, slang term coming out of the darker portions of the ghetto. There is some value to Bitcoin, and the tech is excellent. It's compelling. Dot-com bubble did not burst because dot-com stocks were completely it burst because everyone became overexcited and a highly speculative get. Same could be said for tulip mania. And I'm sitting here looking at a graph right now. We ain't that far away from tulip mania. We're right below it with Bitcoin. As evidenced by publishing and trading online, there was some value in get tech in the end, in great tech in the dot-com era. And that same will be seen with Bitcoin, but most likely once burst and the FOMOs have scarpered and moved on to the next billion. Only then will we see its true potential. As Michael Casey explained, the current Bitcoin market has the hallmarks of a bubble now because of its immaturity. It needs to grow up quickly in order to move past this bubble phase. The problem I have with the immaturity of Bitcoin's investing culture is not that it's setting the market up for a correction. It's that it constrains progress toward attaining the technology's more fundamental social value, he says. Speculation? Unavoidable. Even useful in bootstrapping innovation. But if Bitcoin is to change billions of lives, it needs to become a more mainstream asset class, one that's connected to the real world that those people occupy. As much as we might all love this quirky, abnormal honey badger of money, Bitcoin needs to become more normal. It needs more stability. It needs a two-way market. Because the lack of a two-way market means that there is increased volatility and a significant lack of liquidity. This can even create security risks for even the most professional platforms. And just a few weeks ago, we talked about one of the security risks. Over 300 and some odd million dollars of Bitcoin money was completely wiped out in a matter of minutes, and it has yet to be recovered. They believe now that it won't be. just because of a stupid stroke of a key. Think about that. Yesterday, IG Group told the Financial Times that its Bitcoin derivatives on Monday after roaring demand for the products left the company facing a high security risk. Bitcoin derivatives? Oh, so Bitcoin has now entered the derivative market. How marvelous. Bitcoin's an asset class which does not have years of data for analyst investors to find support and understanding for their trading decisions. This makes the market nervous, especially with such low liquidity. Hence, this is a speculator's game at present, and one which makes even the most professional of platforms run scared. And so the question becomes, should gold investors be crying themselves to sleep? No. There's a reason for it. Both markets are speculative. It's that simple. Okay. But Bitcoin is speculative for the purpose of, my God, honey, we're going to get rich. Look at all this here money we're going to have. I can take you out of cruising. We can take a trip. We can buy a new boat. We can this, we can that. And that's okay. But speculation in gold is, and we're not talking Wall Street gold, we're talking the real thing. It's because you're speculating that economically things are going to go in the wrong direction down the road. When you invest in physical, allocated, and segregated gold or silver, you can be sure that all the scenarios we've shared with you in this last few minutes is not the case. The gold market is a several century old setup. Bitcoin is years. 5, 6, 7 years. One which has moved. The gold market has moved with the times in terms of security, but it held to old school beliefs when it came to keeping counterparties to an absolute minimum. We discuss in many times over the years the risks of so-called digital gold, pool gold, which is exposed to the risks on a number of levels. Bitcoin has different but similar risks. How do you own it in a safe way? Is these kind of risks which should stop people from rushing into Bitcoin and other cryptos and from comparing it to gold? No, the debate is not about Bitcoin versus gold, but instead about investors and savers protecting themselves from the rapid devaluation of currencies. Bitcoin is new. It's volatile with much to prove. Gold has been in existence as money and a store of value for millennia, not to mention all of its other roles. No, investors should continue to pay attention to the Bitcoin chatter due to the narrative it offers around changing attitudes to money in the economy. And yet, they must remember that the debate is about the security of your savings and value. That is where gold is currently the only real contender for protecting your diversified portfolio. Something for you to consider on this evening of the 28th day of November. Having stated all of this, let's move on to one other direction, just for a brief few minutes, and then you'll understand. No, you'll understand, and you'll understand what I'm saying. You'll understand. So just, you know, listen. I'm learning how to manipulate this hour very, very quickly, because an hour for me is nothing. I'm used to two-hour programming. I can stretch things out. I can do some things. I can milk the time. I can point things out very clearly. But an hour with a break is not an easy thing to do. There's three letters in the alphabet that are kind of worth considering. M, B, and T. Millions, billions, and trillions. When we talk about the giant size of Apple, or the fortune of Warren Buffett, or the massive amount of global debt accumulated, all of these things sound large, but they're actually extremely different in magnitude. And that's why visualizing things spatially can give us a better perspective on money and markets. How much money exists Maybe we've got a new meaning. Is Bitcoin money? Is it not money? What is this? What is that? Well, what's interesting, some of the money and the markets infographics that I have access to, we may try to post one of these a little bit later tonight, shows that at present time, silver is the most undervalued asset. Understand, it does not say risk. It does not say investment. Silver shows the most undervalued of all the assets that are available to us. And yes, as far as I'm concerned, silver falls into very much the same category as gold. Gold is more of a, you buy it and you hold it, you buy silver to sell. That's a very, very old adage. You buy silver to sell. Silver is something that you can barter and trade with on a smaller level. It's a bag of groceries. Maybe it's a tank of gas. You don't want to be pulling out quarter ounce gold pieces or 1 ounce gold pieces to go buy a tank for the gasoline. Why? Because how are you going to get change? Okay? It's that simple, my friends. So one of the things we tend to look at is the different ways we can buy silver. And I don't spend enough time sharing these kind of things with you. And for that, I'm deeply sorry, because I need to spend time. We've gone on the air over these last 3 months, 4 months, whatever it's been, August, September, October, November, nearly 4 months. And we come up with special offerings with some British sovereigns, both old ones and new ones. I think we've done some stuff with silver rounds. We've done $2.50 gold pieces. We've done some old $20 gold pieces. We've got fives and tens available. We've gone through this whole explanation of so-called the pre-1932, the alleged collector's pieces that aren't truly collector's pieces, but it's a language that's written to the law that allows us to call them collector's pieces. We've covered a lot of these things. We've done some junk silver. Understand there's a wide variety of forms of silver we can buy. We can buy bars. We can get 1 ounce bars, 10 ounce. I guess there's some ounce bars out there too. We can get 100 ounce. We can get 1,000 ounce bars of silver. We can get these things called junk silver, either dimes or quarters or half dollars that have been in circulation at one point in time or another. Sometimes for a large enough purchase, I can mix a bag. I can get you like a quarter bag of dimes, a quarter bag of quarters, and a half a bag of 50-cent pieces. 50-cent pieces, the old half dollars tend to run a little bit higher at a premium than the dimes and quarters do. But that's some of the best prices on junk silver in the last 3-4 months that I've seen in 4 years, which made them extremely desirable to get a hold of. Some of the better prices I've seen on old peace dollars. And by the way, just the 18th of this month, which is what, 10 days ago, I believe, maybe it wasn't the 18th, maybe it was the 14th, whatever the case may be, was, the 100-year anniversary or 99th year anniversary, something of that nature, of the end of World War One. Did you realize that's brought about the peace dollar? We'd had the Morgan dollar for so many years, since like 1878. And by 1918, and of course, 1919, 20, 1921 came along, and the U.S. Mint decided to finally release a coin that paid homage to all those so-called soldiers and the heroes in the end of World War One. That's what the peace dollar was all about. Now, we've made some good offerings on peace dollars, both in an AU and a BU, a brilliant uncirculated and an almost circulated format. And these kind of things are available to us. I talked to my supplier earlier today and was very happy that he said he'd been able to acquire some more. And so we can still acquire, for those of you who are interested in silver, it's a good way to do it. No, we can still get 1 ounce silver rounds. I can get for you silver American Eagles, Canadian Maple Leafs, privately minted 1 ounce silver rounds, which are 9999 fine pure silver. What do we got right now? I can still get some 1922 or 1923 brilliant uncirculated rolls of dated peace dollars. You'll get a roll of either all 1922 or all 1923. We can pick those up right now for $500 a roll. You'll need to call or email me a reservation. You'll need to get your funding. We had a few people that ordered last month or the month before that for one reason or another never followed through and got their money in here. And maybe they just got cold feet and just didn't want to call and cancel, whatever the case may happen to be. Those things happen. One gentleman sent me a check, but the check was made out to the wrong company. And I said, you got to send me a check made out to the right company, and I'll send you your check back. He's never sent his check, so I'm assuming he's just not interested at this point. Those things happen. People run into financial needs. Maybe all of a sudden he woke up the next morning and his transmission crapped out. Maybe he had to go ahead and use that money to get his tranny fixed or get a new brake job. Or maybe he met some hot babe at the bar and decided to take her away for the weekend. I don't know. It's not my business. Can't blame anybody for these things. But these things do happen in business occasionally. We also have access to some AU, about uncirculated peace dollars. Save people a few bucks with those. And they are out there. And I love peace dollars. I've all shared with you my story of the peace dollars. And that's how I started when I was 10 years of age. Why not? Nothing wrong with them. It's just the one I'm looking for. Beep, 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 beep. No, that's not the one I'm looking for. I think we were able to get the AUs for somewhere in the lower $400 range. I just can't remember the figure right now. I'm trying to do a little bit of digging up and see what the heck I can find. Come on, give me this one. Yeah, here we go. BU, brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. Yeah, these are the BUs, 1921s, 22s, 23s. No, those are Morgan dollars. Sorry, much higher price. You're going to save about $40 buying the peace dollars per roll. Why? There's more of them. There's more of them available in a brilliant uncirculated condition. That is the key, my friends. That is the absolute key. So you save the money where you can. We go for that. Anyway, if I can be of help in these realms, I do invite you to give us a call. Everything we do at Kettle Marine Precious Metals in this particular instance is here to help RBN. This is one of the ways we help raise funds to keep things moving forward, to keep us on the air. And so if you're going to be out buying gold and silver, give us a call. It's rare that I lose people's phone number, but once in a great while it happens. And in Jerry's case, it did happen, and I hope Jerry's listening and will give me a call tomorrow. And I will get back with him. And I had all sorts of notes written down, 3-4 different things he and I could look at. I want to stretch his money as far as we can. That's my motto. This is not my money. This is your money. You're selecting to do business with us because we will get it cared for and get it cared for properly. We're out of time. I hear the music running. You guys take care of yourselves. I will see you, actually, not until next Tuesday. I have a commitment with my granddaughter this coming Thursday night. I will not be able to be here. But give us a call anyway. 623-327-1778. 623-327-1778. You take care of yourself. We'll see you. Bye-bye. We must take America back.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.